Claudia's Hand-Painted Yarn is a small Harrisonburg company whose website proudly proclaims it is owned by a woman, operated by women, staffed by women. We dye by hand, the website continues, all of the yarns we sell. Be warned, they are dyed with peace, love, comfort, and joy. May they be yours. It was my pleasure recently to talk with Claudia McLean, who is the Claudia of Claudia's Hand-Painted Yarns.
16 years ago, I quit drinking and I couldn't sit still and I started knitting. My mother had taught me to knit when I was a little girl and then I quit. And when I started again, I started knitting left-handed. And we had this wonderful shop up in McLean in Northern Virginia where I lived. And I just kind of moved in there and was knitting frantically.
Left-handed was new?
Left-handed was new. They had made me learn how to do everything right-handed. You know, I was a right-handed knitter.
But a left-handed person.
A left-handed person. And when I went back to it, I realized that I really was a left-handed knitter. And then there's a wonderful book out called Knitting for Anarchists, which kind of told me it's okay. You know, whatever you do is fine as long as the end result is the end result.
What were you doing for a living back then when you were transforming yourself into a sober left-handed knitter?
I was a stockbroker.
You were a stockbroker?
So my training by trade is a CPA and a stockbroker. And there came a day when I realized that it doesn't matter how good you are at something that pays incredibly well, I just needed to do something that was more creative. I had been through a bout of breast cancer, and that's just a very reflective time because you're kind of sidelined, or at least I was sidelined for a time. And I realized that what I had been doing with all my life was saying, when this happens, then I'll be happy. When I get the Louis Vuitton purse or, you know, whatever it is, when this thing occurs, this physical, tangible thing, when I have ownership of this thing, then I'll be happy. And I suddenly realized that, A, none of that stuff was making me happy, or it was for about 10 seconds. But B, what I really wanted to do was something creative.
Were you still in Northern Virginia?
I was still in Northern Virginia. And at this point in time, luck would have it, I was going through a divorce, and they made me go to a employment rehabilitation specialist. That's a big fancy term, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Or no excuses, go out and get a job. And that turned into me being forced to write a business plan, which was all about hand-dyeing yarn and having a yarn company. A girlfriend had asked me at coffee, if you could do anything and have anything, what would you do? And I said, well, I would want to have a yarn company. And she said, well, what's the first thing you need to do? And I said, well, I need to get a business license. She says, great, go do it. And I went home that day and I got online and I got a business license.
For Claudia's Hand-Painted Yarns?
Well, I don't even know what it was for. It's been a while. That was like 2003.
Okay.
And so there was this progression
of things. Now, wait a minute. Back up. You wanted a yarn company. What did you know about yarn and dyeing yarn?
Absolutely nothing. I just knew that I was a manic knitter, and they never had the yarn that I wanted and the color that I wanted or the project that I wanted.
And what was missing in terms of yarns and colors?
Who knows?
Just wasn't right.
You know, I'm one of those people who I would envision a project in my head, and then I would go into the yarn shop to find the materials to produce this project. And it wasn't a project that anybody else had decided to do, and so it wasn't there. You know, I wanted, I don't know, let's just say a purple sweater, and they didn't have the right shade of purple.
Claudia knew she'd have to see to the creation of that perfect purple somewhere a little cheaper than Northern Virginia. So she moved to business-friendly Harrisonburg, where she already had good friends. And as luck would have it, the same divorce that forced her to write a business plan allowed her to gain useful experience.
Well, it was a lengthy divorce. You know, that took a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was embroiled in that, I did different things. I worked at G Street Fabrics. I was a sales rep in the yarn industry. I kind of got to know the business a little bit better.
Okay.
And then as I'm being a sales rep, one of the ladies that I'm selling her hand-dyed yarn needed help in getting the yarn hand-dyed. So I thought, well, I'd love to do it, but I don't want to move to Long Island. And she says, no, you can do it at your house. And so she would send me yarn and she would send me you know, little swatches of what colors things were supposed to be. And
So this was a yarn manufacturer in Long Island?
Mm-hmm.
What made her think you could dye yarn?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't do a lot, but it was enough. And I was in this rental house with white carpet in the basement, and I'm dying on this white carpet, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing? This is crazy. And she's the one who encouraged me, and she's the one that when I thought I wanted to do this and I had written my little business plan, I said, can I put some of my yarn in your booth? There are a couple of big wholesale shows where we sell to the knitting shops. And she let me put my little, it's a little five basket stack, and I put my 20 different colors of yarn in my little basket, and people gave me orders for yarn. And she sent somebody over, and she said, I want you to meet Andy, and Andy's my wonderful sales rep, and maybe he'll rep for you. So I said, Andy, would you rep my line? And he tells me about 3 years later that what's going through his head is, what line? And instead, what comes out of his mouth is, sure, I'd love to.
Those five baskets of yarn, how would you describe them? What made them your yarn as opposed to somebody else's yarn?
Apparently, I use very bright, vibrant colors. And I love to think about the way they transition. I think that the way I transition the colors is maybe unique or different or something.
Well, you've got a skein here, and describe it and talk about what you mean by transitions.
So
please.
We have this huge hank of yarn that weighs about a pound, and we'll turn it into 12 smaller pieces when we're done with it. But starting out, I've got these huge pots that hold 6 gallons of water, and I've got a big pipe in the middle of them, so they look like an enormous angel food cake pan. And so the first color goes up at the 12 o'clock position, and in this case, it's a rich chocolatey brown. And next to that is this beautiful dusty rose, and then down at the 5 o'clock position is kind of a burnt orange color. And then the next color over is kind of a greeny, neutrally sagey color. And then there's sort of a coppery golden color that's up at the 11 o'clock position. And so I have these five bottles of color, and I put a layer of yarn down, and I squirt each color in its place, and I smoosh it around and move it around and get it where they're touching so there's no white spots in the yarn. And I didn't realize until I went to the trade show myself and started selling my yarn that what I had was different than what other people were doing.
Do you have any idea where in your experience, in your hereditary makeup, where that comes from? Where do you get your color sense?
Okay, this is crazy, but I'll say it. I think I process emotions in color. I think that to me, the rightness or wrongness of a color combination is very visceral. And when I'm standing there with a customer, putting different things together, and you can always see when you get the right ones together, they go, oh, and it's involuntary. And you know when you've hit what's right for them. One of the things I say to people is there's the color that looks good on you, but then there's the color that you feel good wearing. And you should wear the second one.
So Claudia McLean bought a house with a drain in the basement floor and started a real homegrown business complete with freshly dyed yarn hanging from every possible surface.
So it was crazy. It was absolutely insane and crazy. And that went on for about 6 months before I bought a commercial property. And so now I have a 5,000 square foot petite factory.
Oh, I like that, a petite factory. Tell me about this yarn that I'm looking at right now. Where do you get it? What's the makeup? And do you always use this yarn? It has a wonderful feel. It's quite a fine gauge, and it's twisted.
This is a merino wool, which comes from merino sheep. And this is what's known as a very fine merino wool, which means that its micron count, which is how fat the individual little hairs are, is quite skinny. Mm-hmm. It's an average of a 19.5 micron. So you can have lots of different merinos, and the finer the little animal hairs, the softer and the better, more buttery it will feel. This yarn we get from a mill in Italy. It doesn't mean that the wool comes from Italy. It just means that that's the male who has processed it for us. And one of the things I learned from them is that one of the things that makes the yarn bouncy and squishy is that the animal's hair is curly.
Oh.
Who knew?
Who knew? The sheep's naturally curly hair.
Well, and sometimes a merino that has the right count won't be curly enough. And so the yarn won't have the right feel. It'll be kind of flat and more like a piece of string.
Tell me about the dyes. What kinds of dyes do you use? And what was your learning curve in coming up with these fabulous colors? I feel like Oprah.
Initially, I would buy these dyes, and I didn't know what color they were. And so I would just put them on the yarn just to see what color they were. And they wound up being pretty. And some of those colors, like Purple Earth, are the colors that we have even now. And so now I have like these 150 different colors that we've named. And people love the name. You know, and so we decided that each name has to kind of tell a story. You know, like eat your veggies or walk in the woods.
That's
be
wonderful.
Be my Valentine. Be my Valentine is like all these browns and then a deep, rich Valentine-y red.
I have to tell you, I was on the phone with a yarn shop in Charlottesville for some reason, and your name came up, and they said, I think that's our best-selling yarn. How do you sell? What's been your learning curve on the marketing end of this?
Oh. Okay, so I do not have a knitting shop. We have a wholesale business, and this is my shy hermit, I don't want to talk to people side of me that says, well, I'll only have to go to 2 trade shows a year and I can handle that. I'll just go and pretend like it's not really me in the booth having to talk to people about yarn. And then the economy did what the economy did. And I had to get on the road and start selling yarn. And so I would go and work a trade show with one of my knitting shops. And that's what I've been doing and going. And, you know, we've survived this economy. But I think I had to change. I had to be open to suggestions. And because people want to meet Claudia.
Of course, because your name is on the yarn.
You know, people want to know, where did this come from? What's the story? It just makes them very happy.
Okay, look in your crystal ball. What is the future of Claudia's hand-painted yarns? Are you going to? Do you want to own the world? Do you want to stay small? What do you want to do?
You know, we always want to make more money, but there's a balance that works. That's about quality of life and being able to be present in my life. You know, it's like I thought for a while I wanted to own the world. I wanted to have this big, huge yarn company, and I really don't. We have, because I've been out on the road and meeting the end users, the people who actually knit with my yarn, they feel free to pick up the phone and call us if they're having problems with a knitting pattern. You know, they'll call and I'll go, okay, let's just do this. You know, and it's fun. It's a real connected thing, yet I've got enough distance that I can manage it in my crazy hermit life. It's just perfect.
Do you still like to knit?
I knit every day. I am a manic knitter.
I'm gonna knit, knit, knit all day. I'm gonna knit my blues away. Well, if I'm feeling low, I knit a row, cause a fella needs his knitting just to ease.
You'll find a link to Claudia's hand-painted yarn on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
He called for his needles and he called for his wool and he knitted himself a crown.
The Spark is a joint production of the WMRA Land Community and the staff of WMRA Public Radio. The Spark theme music is supplied by the Avant Gardeners of Albemarle County, who also contributed the sprightly music used in this segment. The Spark's web wrangler is Terry Ward. Thanks, as always, to Terry, Matt, and Bob, and special thanks to lustrous intern Rachel Quimby. And remember, if you know of creative people with whom I could talk, please send me an email about them. You'll find my email address splashed all over the Spark page at WMRA.org. I'm Martha Woodruff. It has been
a great pleasure to be with you.